All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, I think a lot of times we forget how mighty our God is, what He can do for us. David was just a young man of great faith, trying to be obedient to his father, and God used him. Now, if you have your Bibles tonight, Genesis chapter 6, I want you to see, now we're going through great men and women of Scripture and learning things from them. And I wanted to do this during the summertime when we had the children in, so we could all learn from things, from the characteristics of other people. We're going to take an Old Testament book in a couple of weeks and start that verse by verse. But I want you to notice in the summertime, we try to do things that the kids can enjoy too, and things we can all learn from. And I'll tell you this, I guarantee you can learn from Noah's life. If you have your Bible, notice with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter number 6. It came to pass, verses 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now you're going to notice here, then look, if you would, in verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Something happened between verse 2 and verse 5. Now, most commentators would think that there are some people think these were angels. They're not angels because angels don't marry. The Bible is very clear about that. They don't have children. The Bible is very clear about that. So you'll notice, if you would, the sons of God were the sons of Seth, the godly line, those that had decided to do what was right. Sons of God. Sons of those people that wanted to do what was right. They were saved. They were trying to please the Lord. But you'll notice what got them. Notice, if you would, and the daughters of men were the daughters of Cain. Now, Cain had a corrupt line. He was a wicked man. And his daughters and granddaughters and their children, they just chose to live like the world and do what the world wanted them to do. So here's spiritual people marrying unspiritual people. And notice what always happens in verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Remember this. You put a rotten apple in a barrel of good apples, and the good apples never, ever, ever make the rotten apple good. Never happens. So it's the same principle. Whenever you put a righteous man and he accepts an unrighteous man as his friend, or accepts an unrighteous woman as his wife, then I guarantee you she is going to affect his heart. It happened with Solomon. It happened with great men of Scripture. If you'll notice, if they married wrong, it always destroyed them in the end. Their family, their generations. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 6, it says, verse number 5, it says this, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I cannot imagine that generation. Notice the wording. It's very clear. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. So he constantly thought about wickedness, about immorality, about paying somebody back, about bitterness, about hatred, about how he can get more stuff. Every imagination, every thought, dream of his was wrong. And notice, if you would, was only evil continually. So if he sat down and thought about something, all he thought about was something that in God's view was evil. It had no spiritual value. And so if you understand tonight that God looked out in the entire world. Now notice this. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God looked at the state of mankind and said, I give up. I'm going to destroy them all. It grieved him at his heart. But then you'll notice, if you would, in verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man which I have created from the face of the earth. Now, God's intention was, I'm going to destroy everybody on earth. And then you'll notice a big but in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, God saw something in one man that he didn't see in every other person on earth. I want you to see those characteristics tonight. What is it that God saw that he spared the world because of? One man. Now, what you notice in the outline, number one, Noah was a righteous man before God. And you'll notice, A, Noah was saved by the word just. We know that he was saved. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Just, the word for righteous. Man for one that's rightly related with God. So Noah was rightly related to the Lord in his salvation. He had trusted the Lord. Now notice, if you would, be in the outline, he was mature and balanced among those who saw him live. Or he was a man of integrity. Though this word here, perfect, can mean complete. It means one of integrity. It means fully developed spiritually. In other words, if he was perfect, it doesn't mean he was sinless. It means that he had grown to the point to where God looked at him with respect. Now that is a tremendous statement. Notice, if you would, perfect in his generations. In his environment, in his age. Now, generations, two parts. Notice this. He was genuine at home. When it says perfect in his generations, generation is the word for environment, people around him, the people near him, his descendants. Notice, if you would, one in the outline, he was genuine at home. Two in the outline, he was spiritually mature with those outside the home. He was spiritually truthful with those outside the home. This one word, Hebrew word, can mean mature, complete, and it can mean one of integrity, someone with no obvious flaws. The word in the New Testament would be blameless. Doesn't mean perfect. It means there's no outstanding sin in his life. He was perfect before man. He lived right in his home. When he made a mistake, he looked at his wife. I don't know who Mrs. Noah is. She's never mentioned by name. So Mrs. Noah had to forgive Noah, because Noah would look there and say, Mrs. Noah, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I shouldn't have had that attitude, or I shouldn't have said it that way. Will you forgive me of this or that? And so everything in his home, she looked at him and said, I have great respect for you. Even when you make a mistake, you make it right. That's perfect. Same thing with people outside his home. Generations include people that he dealt with. Now keep in mind, we don't know what Noah did. Perhaps he was a farmer or an agriculture, or he was a shepherd or a cattleman, whatever. But the Bible is stating here that he was perfect in all of his dealings. He was integrity, a man of integrity. He was good with people. He paid his bills. He was honest with people. His word was his bond. And when he said something, people said, that's the law of the Medes and Persians, because Noah's going to do it. So he had a perfect reputation. Now, everybody in this room can have a perfect reputation. Doesn't mean you always do what's perfect. You don't always do right. But you go back and make it right so that people know that you will do the right thing one way or the other. And that's perfect. Blameless. Everybody in this room, it ought to be our goal to be blameless. To be perfect like Noah. These are the ingredients that caused God to change his mind about destroying the world. There may be some people in your family that God has to change his mind about destroying them because of you. Or some people at work. So it's important that you and I are perfect before the Lord. And you'll notice one other statement about it. Perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now notice Roman numeral 2. Noah walked with God. What does that mean? A, I want to take just a minute about walking with God. He obeyed the Lord in everything. Obedience is one of the most endearing things we can do to walk with the Lord. The Lord wants us to want to walk with him. He wants us to agree with him. You notice Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Now follow with me. Does God always walk right? The answer is yes. So I have to change to agree with him. God doesn't change to agree with Dave Pittman. Dave Pittman is a sinful man. If I'm going to walk with God, I've got to change to be like him. And so do you. So if we're going to walk with God and have that testimony, God knows that. He knows when we say, Lord, I agree with you. You know, that wasn't right. I agree with you, Lord. You know, you need to work harder. I agree with you, Lord. How can two walk together except to be agreed? Walking with God, you have to agree with him on everything. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if anybody I agree with on everything. It better be God. Because his way is perfect and ours is not. And every time we don't agree with the Lord, we step out of God's will. So the way you walk with God, and here's Noah. He walked with God. Now, I want you to notice, B in the outline, Noah worshiped the Lord. I'm not going to take a long time here, but there was a time when Noah made offerings to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. That means he got alone with the Lord, and he offered him offerings, and he said, Lord, you're a great God. I'm thankful. You're my God. Lord, you're good to me. He worshiped the Lord. He lifted him up. Do we do that? Do we take time from time to time to worship the Lord? The Greek word, proskuneo, is the word sort of like a dog licks. Yeah. Just comes up and, you know, their way of showing affection is to lick your hand or to lick you. You know, we got this mutt called Charity, and if I'm in bed or something, she'll come up beside the bed and whine to get in. I say, I'm not putting you in bed. And all of a sudden, she'll jump up. And then she'll come over and she'll start licking me. Get away from me, dog. But you know what she's telling me? She's saying, I really do love you. I do want to be near you. And when you and I worship the Lord, it's the same thing as that dog comes in. Now, let me tell you this about this dog. Every time I come in the house, every time I come in the house, every time I open the garage door, she's either there or sliding to make the turn to come see me. And you know what? It's always the same. It's like she's never seen me before. And you know what? That's pretty encouraging. Matter of fact, I get out of the car and I sort of pause a minute till I hear her whining behind the door. I go up and open the door. Charity, if I don't see her, all of a sudden I hear this. She's coming around the corner. And man, she's trying to make that turn. She comes, she's jumping up. Worship. It's when you want to be with the Lord. Whenever he's available, you're there. Now, we all have things we're doing, but when we make time and say, I want to spend time with you, he's always there. Noah worshiped the Lord. Do we? God looked at him and said, wait a minute, I got to change my mind for this guy. Because he walks with me. Notice with me if you would. Not only that, see, Noah had faithful fellowship with God. His relationship with the Lord was real and vibrant. He knew the Lord personally. He was excited to be around the Lord. I would imagine there were times that Noah just walked in the fields and said, Lord, I want to talk to you tonight. As the moon was shining and the stars were lit up, and he would walk and just talk with the Lord. He walked with God. And all of us in this room, we need to get alone sometimes and just walk with the Lord. Not for us to get something out of it necessarily, but for us to praise and worship him. For us to just thank him. For us just to tell him the needs of our heart. Walk with him. His relationship was real with the Lord. So the Lord looked out on the entire earth and said, every imagination of thought of man is only evil continually. But there's one man. Now, having said that, notice with me if you would, Roman numeral 3. Noah was a great man, was great, a man of great spiritual character. And his walk affected others mightily, especially his family. Now, I want you to notice a little bit about this. Noah had a great example to follow. Does anybody know who Noah's great-grandfather was? Anybody know who Noah's great-grandfather was? Anybody? Josiah, are you sure? Okay, who is it? Enoch, you're right. By the way, the chapter before, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. You know, the average age to live was 900 years, and Enoch was taken to heaven at 365. You know what that tells me? God was so thankful to have people that wanted to walk with Him, He couldn't wait for the end normally. Enoch, you just come on home with me. And the Bible says Enoch was not, for God took him. Wouldn't you like to walk with the Lord so that He's debating, well, I sure would like to have you home with me. Now, we look at it and say, well, you know, I kind of like this earth. If you knew about heaven, and if you and I could picture what the Lord has prepared for us, none of us would want to stay here. So, if you could picture Enoch just walk with the Lord, and all of a sudden one day, I can imagine that the stories got around about Enoch. And Noah heard it. He said, I want to be like my great-grandfather. Hey, Dad, what did Granddad Enoch do? He was close to the Lord. I heard he had a reputation. He walked with the Lord. What did he do? Well, son, there were times in the evenings you could hear him walking, talking with the Lord. Nobody around, just him talking with the Lord. He get up early in the morning and talked with the Lord. Not only that, when he lived his life, he lived it in a way that would please the Lord, so that as people heard him, watched him, they could see somebody that walked like the Lord. He walked with God. Noah said, that's what I want. Now, I want you to listen. Watch this. B in the outline. Noah lived perhaps in the most wicked environment any Christian has ever had to live in. Now, I don't know, as I look through Scripture, look through all of Scripture, I know of no other Christian that had more to deal with and that had less to deal to help him than Noah did. Now, I want to show that in just a minute. But can you imagine everybody on earth having wicked thoughts, pornographic thoughts, stealing thoughts, lustful thoughts, covetous thoughts? Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. And that's your world. That's everybody in your world. That's your next door neighbor, your back neighbor, your side neighbor, your front neighbor. Every time you go to the grocery store, everybody's got all this evil in their hearts. Evil continually. And you are the only man on earth that walks with the Lord. Lord, I love you. It's hard for me to even imagine this. But part of the reason Noah was able to stand is because he had a great grandfather to give him the right example. How many of us are going to leave an example for our children and grandchildren? I'm just telling you, there is a reason Noah decided to walk with the Lord. And a part of it was his great grandfather. What are you leaving for your children? Perfect in your generation? Notice with me, if you would, I want you to notice this. C, this is 3C. Noah chose not to allow the world to affect him for 120 years. Look here, he faithfully preached for most of those years. Look in chapter 6 and verse 3 of Genesis. In the last part, it says, right after he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his day should be 120 years. So 120 years, and here he is. Keep in mind, can you imagine? Nobody in this room is more than probably 75 years old. I don't see anybody more than 75 years old. Can you imagine having to live your entire life twice with no other Christian? With no other example? So you and I say, man, we've got it hard. No, we don't. Notice, if you would, D in the outline. Noah faced many unique problems that could have changed his heart. Now, I want you to listen to this. I want you to see the difference between what he had to deal with and what we have to deal with, all of us in this room. Notice number one, he had no true friend outside of his family. No friend outside of his family that he could deal with. No business person that he could trust, nor neighbor that he could trust. The only person he could deal with and trust was his wife. His children were small. It is said that one of his boys was 98, one of his boys was 96, apparently when the flood came. And so we don't know how the other one was, but you know, for 10, 15, 20 years, it was just he and his wife, the only people on earth trying to do right. Now, notice with me, if you would, number two, he had no written copy of the Scriptures. You know what he had to do? He had to remember when he walked with the Lord what God said to him. One of the greatest privileges you and I have is to be able to every morning take this copy of God's Word and read it. And I don't know about you, how many of you underline something in your Bible? How many of you circle something in your Bible? Okay? You know what? You can underline that, and many times when I'm going back to read it, I see the same thing. I say, oh, yeah, that was a good point. Oh, that was a good thought. I got to remember that. How many of you forget things that you once read in Scripture? And just go back and redo it. Can you imagine having no written copy from God? And having everybody around you wicked? I can't imagine. Growing up, I could tell somebody, the Bible says I'm not supposed to do that. The Bible says I'm not supposed to lie. Everybody lies. Yeah, but God said for me not to. How do you know that right here in this verse? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I got proof. Well, it's just my word against his word. In Noah's day, he had no copy of the Scriptures. Notice with me if you would. Look here in verse number, in number 3 in the outline. He had no church to go to. You know, there are sometimes, how many of you ever come to church and you're tired and kind of beat up from the world? Let me see your hands. You know, you're just kind of tired. And you come to church, and it's a place to encourage you. I mean, you see somebody, that's part of the reason what the Bible says we are to encourage one another. We're to provoke one another to love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10. We're to provoke one another to love and good works. So in the lobby, provoke somebody. Not punch them, provoke them. Encourage them. Tell them how good the Lord is. Ask them what you can pray about. I met somebody this week, and they told me about a child not doing what's right. I said, I'll put them on my prayer list. And so put them on my prayer list. I've been praying about them for them every day. I'd love to see them turn around. And so when I see them, I can say, hey, look, I'm praying for your son. I'm praying for your daughter. You know, I want people to see, people come up to me and say, I'm praying for your wife. And that's important to me. It means I'm not alone. No one did that for Noah. No church. We'll go out in the lobby. You know, I know I'm around humans here, but I don't think Brother Billy would lie on purpose. I don't think Brother Mike could steal on purpose. I don't think Brother Brian would cheat on purpose. You know what? I think the people in this room, for the most part, want to do what's right. Noah would have been in this room by himself. Can't imagine that. Talking about loneliness. Now, wait a minute. How many of you have been coming to this church for more than 30 years? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. Nobody. Can you imagine having no friends for 120 years? His job that God asked him to do what's right alone, was more than anybody in this room could ever say, Lord, you don't know how hard life is to me. Yes, I do. Noah can say, God, I do. Notice with me, if you would. Number 4. He lived in almost total negative peer pressure. Can you imagine that? No one you can talk to about spiritual things, because nobody understands. I can have a spiritual conversation with hundreds of people in this church, and nobody's going to look at me and say, that's stupid, Pastor. I don't believe that. I can have conversations about things that are right with a lot of people in this room. Noah could not. Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. Can you imagine the negative peer pressure? I remember going to school. I remember going to high school. And I had my Bible with me. And I remember kids sneering and snickering. And I remember watching my drink, making sure I never left my drink because somebody might put something in it, just a little bit of pot, I mean, a little bit of Coke or a little bit of, I don't mean Coca-Cola. I mean drugs, just to watch what would happen. We'd have locker raids. This was a long time ago. I'd come out of a classroom in every locker, and I had 3,000 in my high school, 3,200, 1,000 in my senior class. Every locker door was open. There were times I didn't want to go in the bathroom, use the restroom, because I didn't know somebody was going to try to jump me, beat me up, make me take drugs, whatever. But you know what? I could get out of there. I could get in my car as a teenager, and I could drive across Garland and drive across Richardson and drive up to my church, and I'd get out and go into the youth room, and there was 40, 50, 60, 70 kids in there. We'd talk about good things. I had support. So you know what? I did right. I did right in the public school, did right playing ball. I heard filthy language to the point I was sick of it. I said, I don't want this anymore. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not saying that. And when I went to work, I heard filthy jokes and I didn't have to listen to that. I had to listen to it, but I didn't have to assimilate it in my mind. But that was only a brief period of time. I said, one of these days, God, let me get into the ministry where I can be around people that want to do what's right. You know, this may shock you, but I've never once heard Brother Brandon lie or cheat or curse. How many of you believe that? You're in trouble. You know, I've never heard Brother Scott tell a dirty joke or curse. I've been around Brother Sam for 100 years, and I've never heard him curse. I've never seen that. I've never seen him get mad and throw something on the wall. I've never seen him punch a kid. Aren't you glad? Do you understand? Listen to this. Noah had all that regularly. I had a place to go where I could have some relief. Negative peer pressure 24/7 outside his home. Can you imagine that? And Noah still did right. Wow. I want to be like that. I want to walk like that. And I want to challenge you to be the same way. Now, notice with me, if you would, E in the outline, and this is a great one. Noah was the leader and, by example, gave hope to his family that they, too, could walk with God. Where did his three sons find three women to marry? They came from ungodly homes. You know what? I think they saw Noah and said, wow, if you're like your dad, I want to marry you. Noah was the example. And his boys followed that example. Because they helped him build the ark and there was no water. They had the faith of their father. Don't you know they heard the mockery and the jokes? You're building a what? An ark. What's an ark? Well, it's a boat. What's a boat? Well, you get in it and you float in it when the water comes. There's no water on this mountain. Yeah, but there's going to be. You know, funny thing is, Romans 4, God blessed Noah for his faithfulness. We forget that God was very good to Noah because he did what was right. And you notice, I just want you to picture in your mind, in verse number, well, you don't have to turn there, but he and his family, A, were the only survivors of the flood. Now, we know that. But can you imagine being the only people left on the face of the earth? And realizing that God did that for you. Wow, it's a blessing. Do you know God does things for us all of us in this room, just for you. He'll bless you. If you do what's right, God will bless you, just you, because He loves you. He's proud of you. Do we walk with Him? It's one of the benefits. Constant blessing of the Lord. Notice B, because of Noah's faithfulness, God spared the whole world. Do you realize God allowed the world to come back, the plants to grow, the trees to grow, because one man did what was right. Notice C, Noah lived a long and faithful life after the flood. You don't have to turn there, but I want you to listen to this. Noah lived after the flood 350 years after the flood. And Noah had a good life. He had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Noah had a great life after the flood. All because of God's rich blessing. Notice D in the outline. Noah is listed as one of the three greatest Christians in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel, I want to read this to you. And I'm just sort of assuming that is a statement there. That's a Pittman statement. It's not a statement from Scripture. But you tell me if this doesn't make sense to you. Though these three men, Noah first, Daniel second, Job third, were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. In other words, the Lord was so angry with Israel, He said, if these three men were there, they could, their righteousness would not be enough to spare anybody in the city but themselves. But whenever God's looking for somebody to give an example, He said, these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, and I would present to you, those are three of the greatest Christians of the Old Testament. Now, I want you to know this. Throughout all the time in heaven, this book's going to stand. And you know what's going to be in it? Noah, Daniel, and Job did right through all eternity. What a privilege that would be. You're talking about the Hall of Fame. That's the one you want to be in. But to have your name listed in Scripture, it paid Daniel to do right for 100 plus years when nobody else did. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm certain it wasn't easy. And the only way he made it through was like David's through the lion and the bear. He trusted the Lord explicitly. He walked with the Lord regularly. I can imagine Noah told the Lord a lot of times, Lord, they're laughing at me. Lord, they're making fun of me. Lord, just encourage my heart that I'm doing the right thing. Know where you are. No copy of the Psalms. David encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, no copy of the Scriptures. So you and I, we have so many blessings tonight. I just noticed this. E in the outline. Let's follow his footsteps and walk with God. Let's take Noah as our example and say, you know what? I want to forget the troubles that I have. I have no troubles compared to Noah. I don't have to have a friend to do what's right. It would be nice to have a friend, but I'm going to do what's right with or without one. It would be nice to have a godly husband or a godly wife, but I'm going to do what's right with or without one. Tonight, let me ask you this question. What kind of generation are you leaving behind? What kind of footsteps are you leaving behind? Are they perfect? Are you walking with the Lord? It's not too late for anybody in this room to change your footsteps. Let's do that tonight. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you need to come tonight and just talk with the Lord. Maybe you're facing some struggles at work. Maybe you're facing some struggles at school, in the neighborhood. Why don't you walk with the Lord? Turn it over to Him. He loves you. Remember, the fruit of walking with the Lord is great blessing. If you need to come tonight, you come talk to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that when we decide to agree with you, we can always walk with you. You're always there. Lord, help our hearts tonight, the people in this room, to be in total agreement with you. That which is right, the direction we're supposed to go, who we're supposed to love and who we're supposed to distance ourselves from, who our friends are going to be. Lord, help us not to be like the sons of God in Genesis, to marry the daughters of men because they're pretty. Lord, help us to love you. Lord, speak to hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.